In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Just a sermon, it's an experience. It's not just a sermon, it's an experience. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, empower us tonight. Grace for the next phase. Grace for the race ahead. Empowerment from on high. It says, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It says, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. It says, even upon servants and handmaidens will I pour out my spirit in those days. There's no restriction to the flow. It comes to you and your seed. It comes to you and those around you. And oh, that God will make you tonight a channel of that flow. Please be seated by my spirit. Empowered for greater works. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. There's a mighty activity of angels here. Mighty activity of angels. Mighty activity of angels. Believe me, I know what I'm seeing. Can I tell you something? Do you know that during Night of Wonders, there's one particular angel that God sends just for that service? I've seen the angel a few times. The angel is very tall. He's taller than this roof. But as I'm talking right now, the angel is standing at the center of this hall. I can see him. I'm telling you. You would have thought that God would wait till Friday. He has come. So it's more than a program. It's a season. That's where we are in. Please just help those gently who are under the anointing. There's going to be heightened angelic activities in this season. And so open your heart and be ready. Adalabahasikapaladalama. I sense a strong prophetic unction being released right now. I sense a very strong prophetic anointing. A strong prophetic anointing. A strong prophet that I can feel it in the stomach. A new wine being released right now. Being released. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Higher, hey, hey. That's the song I'm hearing. There's a point of that verse that makes that verse popular. I know you know it. I want you to read it when I get to that point. We are going to read it in concert. It says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Jonathan.'" Want to go? "Not by might, nor by power, but by my..." Shout that last word. "But by my spirit." Somebody shout spirit. By my spirit. Not by might, nor by power. Not by bank account or by connection. Not by CV. How is the lifting going to come? How is God going to compress time for you? As it looks as though time has been wasted. How are you going to recover all that was lost? Not by might nor by power. That means that it's not something you can calculate with your mind to know how it will be done. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Tell your neighbor it is by the spirit of God. Tell the other neighbor, it is nothing else but by the Spirit of God. That's how he will do it. That's how you will fulfill your call. That's how he will lift you and make you a global excellence. That's how he will cause your voice to be heard. That's how he will raise men to stand by you and to help you. That's how he will bring to pass the things he has shown you. For many of us who may be believing in visions and dreams that the Lord showed us many years ago, many months ago, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. By my spirit. John chapter 14 from verse 12. So, we are able to do what God has called us to do by his own empowerment. That empowerment is in the person of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do," or he will do, "because I go to my Father." greater works. May the Lord anoint you in this season of your life to do greater works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater works. It's not by your skill. Thank God for skill, for intelligence, whether it is derived or innate. Thank God for people, for connections, and everything that you have in the natural. But the reason why you can do the greater works is because of the empowerment that comes by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "He that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do, and greater." Why did Jesus say so? He said, "Because I go to the Father." Remember, the same Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter." Let's read that, John chapter 14, verse 13 and verse 14. It says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Let's continue. We'll continue down to verse 17. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." John chapter 16 and verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus knew that we will do greater than he did. We will do as he did, and even greater. And when the Bible says greater works, I want your mind to stretch beyond any limit. Because I don't know if there's anything Jesus didn't do. He multiplied bread. He raised the dead. He healed the sick, all manner of sickness. He cleansed lepers. He showed authority over nature. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when the Bible says we will do greater than him, the reason is because when he left the earth, the Holy Spirit was sent. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus to become the Christ, the anointed one, to do the things that he did. Remember the story in Ezekiel chapter 37, the dry bones. It was all about the Spirit of God coming on them, and dry bones became a mighty army by my Spirit. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit is the power personality in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the power personality. Power personality in the Godhead. Amongst the Trinity, he's the one saddled with the responsibility of demonstrating the power that is accrued to the Godhead. What we call the power of God is the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible says, even at creation, when the earth was without form and was void, the Spirit of God moved. And it was only then that God began to create by speaking. He moved upon the earth. He moved upon the oceans. He moved upon the formless state of that earth and empowered it to bring life. The same Spirit that was breathed into the nostrils of man, and he became a living soul, from a dead body of clay to a living soul. Think of when that same Spirit is living inside of you. He quickens your mortal bodies. He breaks that word limitation and gives you a life that is without limit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 1, she asked the angel in verse 34 and 35, "How shall these things be? A virgin give birth to a son." It says that the Spirit of God will come upon you, and the power of the Most High. New King James says the power of the Highest What kind of power do you think that is? The power of the highest. Electricity is a form of power, a form of energy. When you touch it, you can tell what it can do. But now the Bible speaks of the power of the highest. This is not electricity. That's the power that can cause life to come. That's the power that can recreate out of nothing. That's the power that does not need any raw material for a miracle. That power will rest upon somebody before the end of this service. I mean it. That power will rest upon you before this service is over. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with that same power from on high. The Holy Spirit is the power personality in the Godhead. He is the performance driver of all the purposes of God. He is the performance driver. Performance-driver. He's the performance driver. He's the performing aspect of the Godhead. Just like you have Jesus as the Word of the Godhead, you have the Holy Spirit as the performance driver, the performer. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16, seek ye out of the book of the law and read. He said, none of this world shall fall to the ground, none shall lack her meat, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has what? It's one thing for the mouth of God to declare it. It's another thing for the spirit of God to perform what has been declared. He's the performer. He's the performer. The purposes of God that will prosper in your life is the Holy Spirit that has been given to you to perform. Psalms 104 verse 30. It says, you send forth your spirit and they are created. He said, you renew the face of the earth. He is the performance driver. Ezekiel 37 verse 13 to 14. He is the performance driver. Ezekiel 37 verse 13 to 14. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And then verse 14 says, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. So how does God perform? By his spirit. If you will do anything for God, it will be because you have received the empowerment of the spirit. And whatever you are able to do for God is to the degree of that power at work in your life. Because though we receive the spirit of God as New Testament believers, as a person, yet we will function and manifest in his power in different measures and degrees. That's the reason why if I leave you with anything tonight, is with a hunger to see greater measures of the power of God manifest in your life, in and through your life. Somebody say amen to that. Hear me. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is the primary requirement for empowerment to do the works of Jesus. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is the primary requirement for empowerment to do the works of Jesus. You want to do miracles, signs and wonders like Jesus did. You want God to be alive and to walk through you. Then you must experience intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is simply getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit well enough to see his power at work in and through you. It's a knowledge that is experiential. It's not just a knowledge that is, you know, predicated on thoughts or informations. No. Informations that can be translated into manifestations. Real-time manifestations. That's what intimacy with the Holy Spirit is. So the more of him you know, is the more of his power you receive, is the more of his power you are clothed with. And then you walk around your world as a sign, as a wonder. Intimacy. Hear me? The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. He is the anointing that we refer to. The anointing is not an oil. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. I've said it already. That is at work in us. The wisdom of God at work in us. The anointing at work in and upon us. The power of God at work in us. It is the Holy Spirit. And that's why you must get to know Him as power. How conscious are you that you are carrying the one who is power Himself? If you live in that level, that state of consciousness, there's a level of confidence you will walk with that people will not be able to explain. His power. Ephesians 3:20 says He's able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all we can ask or think, according to the power at work where? Within us. So as New Testament believers, we have received the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God will come upon men in measures, temporarily, to achieve a particular task for God. Just like in the case of Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 34, I believe verse 9 or verse 10, the Bible says that the Spirit of wisdom rested upon Joshua when Moses laid hands on him. And that was the Spirit that was working on him while he took up the mandate of leading the children of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land. For Samson, as you will see in Judges chapter 14, verse 6 and 19, it was the Spirit of might that rested on him. So the Spirit of God for the Old Testament saints, it came upon them in measures. And it was based on their assignment. Samson needed physical might. So he came upon him as the Spirit of might. For Joshua, he needed wisdom to lead the whole congregation. For Bezalel, how many of you know Bezalel? In Exodus chapter 33, he came upon him as the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding and of intelligence, of craftsmanship. Bezalel did not go to learn any vocational training or skill acquisition. There was no time to go to any school like that. Nobody taught him anything. But the Spirit of God came on him and supernatural intelligence. Think of intelligence that you were not taught. So the Spirit of God can come on you and you will practice business, your business acumen such that you were not even taught in Harvard or in school. You begin to demonstrate it and see millions come to you. It's the Holy Ghost. Never you trivialize the power of the Holy Ghost. But in the New Testament, we have all of Him. However, the purpose of this teaching is to show you how you can operate from one layer to another, superior measures of His power. Somebody say amen to that. How many of you want to walk in the power of God? How many of you want to do the greater works of Jesus? How many of you are dissatisfied with an average life? How many of you have experienced the anointing on you once or twice? How did it feel? Now, how many of you want to have it for the rest of your life? There's nothing as sweet as I'm talking now. The power of God is resting on some people. I can sense it like, you know, something coming on somebody's head. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are truly a blessing when you have the power of God at work in your life. Oh. You can only withstand the forces of darkness when the power of God is at work. Remember the seven sons of Sceva. They thought it was by the way Paul was calling Jesus. Maybe they thought Paul was using British English. Huh? Name Jesus. They tried to say the way Paul was saying it. The Bible says the madman fell on seven of them and beat them and tore their clothes. Since you don't have the Holy Ghost power, me, I have another power with me. And they all ran out naked. Seven men. But when it was Paul's turn, remember in Acts chapter 19, was it Acts chapter 19 now? Chapter 16. The slave girl that was possessed, every day crying out, these are the men that have come to show us the way of salvation. And one day the Bible says Paul was annoyed. That word annoyed can also mean he was full of the Holy Ghost. Every day he was passing there, nothing happened. But that particular day, there was power on him. And the Bible says he turned, and with one rebuke, the spirit left that girl. They didn't have to fast for 3 days and three nights. They didn't have to light red candle and yellow candle and black candle and, you know, all kinds of things that people, you know, when people are desperate for divine intervention, they go into all kinds of things, and some even end up in the house of people who are native doctors wearing suits. Say, bring candle, bring this one, bring this one, bring that one. All of those things are not needed when you have power possessing you. By one rebuke, by one decree. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's power they listen to, not candle, not clothes, not bait. You know, you take your bath. I'm a pastor. I've all kinds of cases have come to me. Say you bath with this for this one. You do. Tell your neighbor, carry power, carry power, carry power, carry power, carry power. Somebody shout power. All of those things will come to an end. I'm telling you, I've met people who have met me with all kinds of things. I should bath with this, use this one for this one. One have even brought what they gave her to me. And as soon as I laid hands, bam, the power of God hit her. And that situation came to an end. Only God knows how much she had spent with those people. You know, the Bible spoke of that woman with the issue of blood, that she suffered many things with many doctors for 12 years until she met Jesus. And Jesus didn't have to speak. Touching the hem of his garment, there was power saturating Jesus. Power was on him. Power. He wore it like a cloak. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about? Anywhere he was a crusade. Because you see what happens in a crusade. I remember during the crusade, how many of you remember the miracle of that Muslim girl? What was the miracle again? Hearing and couldn't walk like that for how long? Speech. She couldn't talk. Power. I didn't come down from that stage. Oh, I stood there. Power hit her in the crowd. A Muslim. Tongue loosed. Don't worry, they'll put the clips online. See, media people, that's why these things, you know, when we say it, they will not believe. So you cut these clips and put it there. Live. Walked and spoke. You don't need to preach too much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's power. What kind of message did I preach that day? That hundreds of people came out to receive Jesus. It's power. I'm telling you, it's power. The world needs power. That's what they are looking for. It's enough to have a good economy. It's enough to have a good this and that. But the major need in this world is power. God wants to carry and place vessels of his power in families, in classrooms, in faculties, in departments, in organizations, in the fields, men with power. As a soldier, as a military personnel, you are wearing a bulletproof, but the power of God on you is another kind of bulletproof. I remember a son of mine told me, he used to be in the theater here years ago, the special forces, you know, an officer. They were engaging the enemy one time and they shot an RPG. He landed on his hillocks and they saw himself and the driver saw the thing roll down through the windscreen. Rolled, they saw it roll and fell on the ground, but it didn't explode. That's not luck, sir. That's not luck. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They saw it. He said that he knew they were gone. He rolled down and didn't explode. They got out and ran away, and they ran like that for 2 days without food till they got to the nearest military formation. You don't carry power in these days, you'll be a victim many times. You need power. You need power. You may not have connections, but when you have power, the connections will come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something about you that will compel people when they see you to listen to you, when they see you to obey you, when they see you. Somebody can be angry. Everybody's coming to the office and going out with shouts of abuse.
The moment you enter, the angry lion is quiet. Do you carry a presence that commands power? Are you ready to receive it tonight? Four steps to being empowered or receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Write it down and then we'll pray. Four steps to being empowered and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Please put your right hand on your chest. God is asking me to rebuke a strange presence here now. Any demonic activity silently at work in the life of anyone here, I stretch my hands. Both those of us in the hall here and those who are at the viewing centers and in other parts of the world following, every demonic activity at work in your life comes to an end right now. I arrest every demon spirit now. I disarm them. I disarm them. I disarm them. I disarm them. I expose them and I command them to go in the name of Jesus. I just felt that unction to rebuke strange forces. Four steps. You know, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says Jesus was full of the Spirit and was led into the wilderness. But in verse 14, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit, but later on he returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus told them, even after in John chapter 20, after he had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Yet in Luke 24:49, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with power. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you. You have the Holy Spirit, but I want to show you how to unlock and activate measures, layers of his power at work in your life. What I will tell you tonight is what I'm submitting to you based on my little walk with God. But there are things I've proven. Micah chapter 3 verse 8, he says, I am full of power as by the Spirit of God. Four steps to being empowered or receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, desire. Desire. Or put hunger. Desire or hunger. Can I tell you something? The power of the Holy Spirit responds first to a hungry heart. To a heart that desires to see it. Listen, let me tell you, in your walk with God, one of the first things that must begin to happen before you real time begin to experience the power of God in your life, I mean for real. I just remember something very funny right now. Okay, I'll say it later. But I mean real power, before you begin to walk in it, there must be a season where your hunger and desire to walk in the power of God overwhelms you. There must be a season where you are dissatisfied. And sometimes you may not even know what, you may not place your hand on the feeling of discontentment in you. You don't know, but you are not just satisfied. You can't tell that's a hunger from your spirit. Sometimes God will create scenarios around you that will provoke you to look for the power of God. Maybe a disappointment, or maybe something that will make you wish you had power. Because the Holy Spirit's power will respond first to your level of hunger and desire. In fact, the remaining steps, it's your hunger and desire that connects you to the rest. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. You must hunger and thirst for it. David said in Psalm 63 from verse 1 to 2, O God, you are my God, hardly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see your power and your glory That's verse 2. Even as I have seen in the sanctuary, to see your power, I am hungry to see it. These are the things that pushed us when we were pursuing God years ago. The power of God. I will watch Pastor Benny Hinn sometimes and I will just wonder, is this a human being or there's something we don't know? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember those early days when I'm privileged to be in maybe a crusade or a service where God's servant, Apostle Joshua Selman, will visit that our environment. And I will see him preach and people falling down. I say, what is this one? And then with real miracles, oh, I remember going for Sifan Crusade, Rehad Bonnke's crusade in 2010, Karu. Crusade that recorded over 1 million people in attendance. I saw that crowd. First of all, it was in August, middle of August. Where rain they fall. And Wednesday, that was the first day of the crusade. By 12 noon on Wednesday, the sun was shining as if we were in dry season. I'm talking in Karu, you know, Nasarawa State. It was a little drop of rain, just little shower for a few minutes. And that was the end. It was sun till evening. They said Riyad Bonnke was not around. So Daniel Kolenda was here. So everybody wanted to see Riyad Bonnke. We didn't know who this one was. But when he took his mic after preaching and was praying for the sick, we saw miracles. I saw them with my eyes. I saw people in front of me, around me, throwing crutches and walking. We came for the fire conference. Oh my God. By Sunday, when Riyad Bonnke came, people didn't want to listen to him again. When he finished preaching and made an altar call, he said, now call my friend Daniel Kolenda to pray for the sick. The whole crowd, imagine 1 million people shouting. And the guy came, you know that guy, Kai, with authority. I as if he's not afraid of Nigerian juju. I rebuke. I said, no, there's something. That was when I lost my youth. That was when I lost my youth. The things that young people started pursuing. That's why till today, I'm an old man in a young body. Till today. From that time, 2010, my pursuit of God changed. I say, if this is real, I must look for it. It led me into prayer, into fasting, nights before, all kinds of things, reading books. I remember a time I read Apostle Johnson Suleiman's book, Walking in Power. I recommend go and read that book. There are men in this country who, just because you think they are quiet, now, there are men that have walked in real power. Real power. You know, he was one of the people who brought this prophetic move very strong. Until tomorrow, I will say it boldly, without anybody, whether anybody is against it or not, that man carries the genuine power of God. Anybody that doesn't like him should go and repent and at least meet him to teach him what he knows. Real power. When I read those his books and many other books those days, I used to read them fasting. Why? Desire, hunger. How many of you read the stories in the Bible and just read and pass one good story? Or you finish 5 chapters for a day. If that's all the reason for why you read your Bible, then you need to start reading again. This time around with a sense of intentionality. Because, listen, let me tell you, the days ahead, technology is increasing to a point where it's almost like there's nothing technology cannot do. What then will be the proof of the power of God that we claim we have? Now, there are glasses you can wear, and when you look at people, you can scan them. Before, we thought that was the prophetic. Now, there are glasses designed, though, that you can wear. I pray for somebody here. In the days ahead, may you become a vessel of the power of God. May your life become a literature of divine power. You believe it? Shout a louder amen. Desire, hunger. Hunger. Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, I will fall upon him that is thirsty, and I will cause flood to come upon dry ground. You must be hungry for it. You must be thirsty for it to see God walk through your life. You must be dissatisfied with where you are. Now you have a good marriage as a woman. You have a husband that gives you so much money as allowance every month. You don't even finish everything. You have two beautiful children, wonderful. You seem to have everything. Is there yet a dissatisfaction in your spirit? How many of us, if you had everything this life can offer, will you still be hungry for God? How many? Because a little comfort has snuffed out the last strand of hunger that some people have. And let me tell you the truth, that's the ticket to obtaining power in the kingdom. Hunger. God will only come to somebody who pants for Him. It's as if your desires or the things that come to you come are attracted by your desires. When you see somebody hate poverty very well, you'll find a hardworking person that will do everything legally possible to be wealthy. So sometimes if you see a very lackadaisical or lukewarm Christian, maybe they don't really see the need for the power of God. Or maybe what they have seen is okay and they want to stop there. There are some people who all they have seen is speaking in tongues. That's just the least of the manifestations. There are more. The first thing that happened in Acts of Apostles was that they spoke in tongues. After that, people began to work miracles. Even Stephen, a deacon in church, the Bible says God did wonders through his hands. You must hunger for it. Number two, wait. Tell your neighbor, wait. The second step to being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Wait. You must learn to wait on the Lord. Your hunger, of course, will drive you to the place of prayer. It will drive you to seek God's presence. But you must learn to wait. Jesus told them in Luke 24:49, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Tarry means wait. Wait. There is a season when you will have to wait on Him until that power rests on you. And you will know when it comes on you. You will know. Sometimes nothing may change in the physical, but you will just know that there's something in you. Wait. Wait in His presence. Wait on Him. And wait for His time. Because there is a time when God begins to make you. But then there is a time when He releases you with power. Luke 4:1. Jesus was full of the Spirit and led into the wilderness. But in verse 14, the Bible says He returned in the power of the Spirit. That was the time to manifest. There is a season to wait. And you must wait until the appointed time. Hear me. It is in the place of waiting that the flesh is crucified. The flesh is your human nature. It is not used to the Spirit and His ways. The flesh does not like to wait. The flesh is impatient naturally. That's the reason why if you keep somebody not doing anything, in less than a minute, they'll pick out their phone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. You are talking with somebody and you say, excuse me, let me just say this to this person. Before you come back, they are with their phone. What? There is an impatience in our nature as human beings. That impatience cannot allow God to use you. So you need to wait. It is in the place of waiting that God will crucify that nature. It's in the place of waiting that self will be dethroned. Self will die. Anything that makes you think of just you. Because for God to invest His power on you, you must carry a mentality that is kingdom oriented. Power will not be given for nothing. No. No, there is a reason for why He gives you what He gives to you. The power to get wealth is not to come so that you can flaunt with it. No. Do you have compassion to people who are dying because of lack of food? Do you have compassion, empathy for people who are ravaged by poverty? Then He gives you the power. But you must wait. You must wait. Oh, this is the place where many people are separated. The men are separated from the boys. This is where many people are taken out because many cannot wait on the Lord. Must learn to wait. Wait on Him like Jesus did. In Luke 6:12, the Bible says, Jesus went to pray on the mountaintop and He tarried all night in prayer. Do you know what all night is? in Jewish timing, all night is 6 p.m. to maybe 4, 5 a.m. That's nearly 12 hours. Do you know what it means for the whole world to be waiting for you? And then you wait before God. Some of us, it's difficult even to pray for 5 minutes without picking your phone once or twice. Because you need to talk to this person. You need to text this person. You need to do this person. You need... Then think of someone that the whole world needed his attention. Yet he shut down and wait. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. Oh, we wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. Oh yeah, we wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. You need to learn to wait, oh. Wait in his presence. Sit there. You know those times when you are praying and you are not hearing anything from God? Nothing. That's waiting. You are waiting there. You are waiting there. In fact, prayer is more than just what you say with your mouth. There are times when your prayer is just sit down there and be still before me. Didn't he say be still and know? Did he say talk or pray and know that I am the Lord? No. How will you know? I'm talking about a knowledge, an experiential kind of knowledge. A vision, a prophetic vista opens for you. And then you come into a level of revelation. The Bible says it's in stillness. You'll need to learn to wait. They waited for days. 500 people was on that mountain with Jesus when he ascended to heaven. 500. Yet, 10 days later, when the Holy Ghost came at the day of Pentecost, only 120 were there. That means 380 people knew there were better things to do than waiting on God. But especially in this generation where we are impatient, nobody wants to wait on God. The slightest delay and we complain. What if there's a power factor he wants to add before you get married? What if there's something else you need to add? Sometimes waiting on God means skipping some opportunities that other people will call open doors. But you censor the opportunity and know that if I enter into this, it will not correspond with divine timings as far as the purpose of God is concerned in my life. So even though I'm desperate for a job, this one will not allow me to do what God is saying I should do this season. Let it pass. That's at the risk of others calling you a fool. At the risk of your family members saying, are you not tired of poverty? A job has come, take it. But you need to learn to wait. It's in waiting that you get to know him, that you get to fellowship, that you can hear him speak to you. You hear people say, God spoke to me, or I had a discussion with the Lord, or the Lord said, and you're wondering if or when that will happen with you. Go and wait. Wait with him. Wait. Wait in his presence. Anybody that does not have time for God is not ready to be a champion in destiny. You don't have time to sit down and wait. Number three, yield. Somebody shout yield. Y-I-E-L-D. Yield means to yield to the Spirit. Yield. To yield means to surrender. It means to give up. It means to let go. Sometimes it also means to let go so that you can receive something else. Yield. Respond. What are you yielding to? You are yielding to the dealings of the Spirit. Jesus told them, come and I will make you fishers of men. That come is a call to making. It's not a call to be sent. No, it's a call to be made. Footballer, come. Businessman, come. Preacher, come. Prayer warrior and intercessor, come. And I will make you. You. There are what we call dealings, the dealings of the Spirit. The Spirit of God begins to teach you certain things about the ways of God. He begins to teach you how to know God and how to interact with God in a custom-made orientation. Something peculiar to you. Listen, it is in the place of yielding that you can hear His voice distinct from other voices. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is where you will know God's customized dealings from for your life. There are things God will not allow you to do that others do. But you must yield to Him. That's when you begin to surrender. And God tells you the things that you must surrender and let go. Yield. Yield to His will. Remember Jesus in Luke chapter 22. Not my will. 42 rather. 22:42. He says, not my will, but your will be done. You yield to His will. When He says, go this way, you go. When He says, mark time, even when others are going, you mark time there. Yield to His will in every aspect. In every aspect. Not that you use signs, physical signs, to determine whether God wants you to do it or not. No, no, no. You learn to surrender to His will. And even then, all the signs around you is saying, go. You know that His will for you is saying, wait. And you remain there. Even when it doesn't make sense. Yield to His will. Yield to His will concerning your finances. Yield to His will concerning your business. Yield to His will concerning your family. There is a manuscript. There is a manual for your own. There is a wisdom to build the home that God gave you. You are celebrated 5 years anniversary. When last did you consult that wisdom? When last did you yield to it? There are some of you young people, you find out that from your relationship, from the day you start dating that lady or that guy, God is moving you to hold frequent prayer meetings with that person. And of course, your flesh may not like it. But who knows, maybe your family, your home will be a war front. Maybe your family will be built on warfare. Perhaps you are going to give back to one person anointed dangerously that the devil will want to destroy. So start building the altars of protection even before your marriage. You need to yield. The Bible says Peter was on the housetop. Right? And he was hungry. He needed to go downstairs and eat. And the Bible says the food was not yet ready. But he was a carnal man. He would have gone down and stayed near the kitchen. Maybe as I stayed here, they will do fast. You know those kind of people? When I never finish the fry, once they bring out the first set from the oil, it will take one. Do you know those kind of people? You are one of them. You know, if you know them, you are one of them. If you know them, you are one of them. The Bible says, while they made ready, he remained on that roof. He was hungry. But he decided to convert the time to prayer. He yielded to the will of the Spirit. Because the will of the Spirit is against the will of the flesh. The Spirit says, pray. The flesh says, no, bed is sweet now. Sleep, if not, you have high blood pressure. Have you been there before? The Spirit said, fast and wait on me. I want to speak to you. The belly said, you remember that ulcer you had 10 years ago? It's about to come now. You didn't eat well yesterday, so eat well today. How many of you have been there before? You didn't eat well the previous day. You woke up the next morning hoping that you will pay back for not eating. And then something in you says, stay away from food first. If you don't know how to yield to the Spirit, you will eat. And that's how that food will close your spiritual eyes from seeing a vision that if you saw that time would have compressed 10 years for you. It was in that state of hunger as he yielded to the Holy Ghost that he saw the vision that opened the gospel to the Gentiles. If he had missed that window, Cornelius' house would not have happened. The Bible says while he spoke to them in Cornelius' house, Acts 10:44, the Holy Ghost fell on them. All that would have been missed if he yielded to the flesh, if he chose food over fire. Yield. Many of what you are going through is God is trying to make you yield. Yield to him. Yield your stubborn will to him. That's why you go through very, very painful situations and you cry. You see those tears, they are worship to God. Cry. It's not like God is happy that you're crying. No. But as you are crying, something is breaking inside of you. Self is dying. There's a part of you that likes you. Me, myself, and I. There's a part of you that if you insult me, I slap you. If you carry power from God with that part of you still alive, you will kill everybody, including your pastor. So when God makes you go through humiliating process and you are crying out of pain because you have to tolerate a lot, that self is dying as you cry. Somebody say, die as you cry. Die as you cry. Yeah, not physical death. Death to self. Death to self. You yield. Every metal, every material has what they call a yielding point. Those of you who did physics. And it will happen by the dealings of the Spirit. God does not mind dealing with you for 10 years. I'm telling you, God takes his time. Takes his time. That's why the sooner you submit to his will for you, the better for you. It takes his time. You must yield. You must yield to him. Yield to his voice. Yield to his will. When he tells you to move, you move. When he's not in something, you say no. Even if your best friend is part of it, I won't do it. Yield. Yield. He will train you. He will break you to yield to his will. He will make you jealous about his will. That you are ready to defy any relationship so long as you stick to the will of God. The Bible says, whosoever does not forsake father and mother cannot follow me. Let him that will follow me deny himself, pick up his cross. Happens when you yield. Please pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, help me to yield to your will. Help me to yield to your will. Help me to yield to your will. Help me to yield. Take away stubbornness. Take away the will of self. And you will be glorified. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. You will be glorified. Unto you be your glory and honor and praise. You will be glorified. Somebody shout, yield. Do you know that there were 3 top moments of the life of Jesus? 3, in my opinion, 3 of the most important moments in the life of Jesus. It was not really when he was working miracles or any of his sermons. 3. Can I mention them to you? Luke chapter 3 verse 22. When he came out of the river and the Spirit descended on him as a dove and the voice spoke, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He was 30 years of age at that time. He had not started ministry. He had not even started walking in the power. But he had lived a life that was pleasing to God. He had yielded. Luke chapter 9 from verse 28 down, on the Mount of Transfiguration, while he was praying, he submitted to the will of God. And the Bible says that voice spoke again, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." The third time when he was in the garden, Luke chapter 22, 42, "Not my will, but your will be done." 3 of the most important parts of Jesus' life. Didn't do any great miracle, but it was confirmed from heaven that those were the most yielded state of his life. Because when he rose up from that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was no longer him. Jesus had died. That was why he gave himself to them to be arrested. They spat on him, they mocked him. In that pain, he didn't curse anybody. On the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." Some of us, your anger, this your anger like this, your anger. Yield. There were many things I used to be before God started working on me. If you had met me that time, you would run. If you had met me that time, I was selfish. Very selfish. I like food. It doesn't look like it now, but it's yieldedness. Yieldedness. A lot has happened. I don't take nonsense. So that time, if you try me, I was more vocal than my brother. Now I'm the one that is quiet. It's yieldedness. Because when I spark like that and go back, the Holy Ghost will not talk. It's when I now enter for retreat. He said, hey, wait till you come. When I'm singing to him, I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, he said, hey, what were you saying that day? What did you tell that person? This thing that you said. And you know, the Holy Ghost knows how to talk to you. Somebody like me who knows scriptures very well, very good. He will use scriptures. He will just be pushing the scriptures to my mind. A servant of God shall not quarrel. 2 Timothy 2:24. So it will be like, you are condemning yourself. Then you just collapse on the ground and say, oh, if you should mark iniquity, who shall stand? Keep that, I sing praises, forget. Baba is not happy. Let's handle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes when I misbehave like that, he will just become quiet. And for days he will be quiet. I'll pray, no moving. I'll sing, no moving. I say, no. What, there's war here. The prayer point will now change. So I started knowing the things that offended him. And I had to let go. I said, but Holy Ghost, you know me, I know they take nonsense. Then he showed me that scripture. Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all manner of things. I remember when he started breaking that part of me. That time, if you offend me, I'll cry. Because if not for God, I would have summoned you. Alada Mahata Kisia. Amen. But because of God, one preacher say, I would have beaten you black and blue. He said, but God has broken my bones. May God break your bones. So I'll cry. Later on, I became silent. Then a time came when I will even love it. You shout and be talking like that, I will just smile. Because now I've yielded to that nature. It's now part of me. There's no way Cain can come out and say, hey! God needs to break you to that point. Some of you ladies, some of you women, you have prophetic graces on your life, but this your anger that you are almost slapping your husband. You think God will now foolishly give you that power like that? Now lie you. Stay and be broken first. And how will he do it? You and your husband fight in the morning. In the evening, the Holy Spirit will say, cook food, kneel down, serve him and apologize. Say, but God, he was the one that, go there, he's your head. You know when God wants to correct you, he will not talk about what those people did. He will handle you first. The same way he's handling those people. Because Jesus said, until you remove the log in your eyes, you can't remove the speck in another person's eyes. What God is simply telling you is what you have control of is your own life. Forget about that person. Yield. Break you. You must yield. Because when you yield, the flow becomes clean. The more you yield, the quicker the flow, the lesser the viscosity. You know, viscosity is the resistance of oil to flow. Some oil, if you pour it like you just flow, it has low viscosity. Some oil, you pour it, it flows gradually. It has high viscosity. So for God to flow through you, your own viscosity must be very low. That resistance in you, that yourself, must die. Sometimes 1 year without job is a way of yielding you. It's not too good, but it can be a way of yielding you. Yeah. Because that your pomposity, that is because you have money. Once you have 10,000, it will show in your walking step. 10,000, oh, talk more of 100,000. So God said, okay, 2 months, no money. He best to serve Jesus. That's going to be your song. When God has made you yield to a point where whether there's money or there's no money, you don't care. Then he releases it.
May God help you to yield to Him.
Number four, before we pray. Number one, I said desire. Number two, I said wait. Number three, yield. Number four, walk. Somebody say walk. Walk. When you yield, He releases His power. But now you need to apply that power by walking by faith. There are people who carry the power of God, but they don't see it manifest because they never exercise their faith. They never take any action by faith. So you'll be heavily drunk with power. In a service like this, you'll be among those falling and scratching and slapping the ground. And there's nothing wrong with that. But why is it that after all those things, you are not seeing the commensurate manifestation in your life? You are not walking by faith, maybe. When was the last time you prayed for a sick person in a public place? You are ashamed. You have not yielded. When was the last time you stopped taking your prayers to your pastor and said, let me handle this thing myself? Walk by faith. After everything, faith is the switch to the power of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith is the switch. Faith is the switch. Faith is the switch to the power of God. Actions that will push God to move on your behalf. You must take a step of faith. You must be courageous. Life will not... Listen, let me tell you the truth. If you want a successful ministry, you must take a step of faith. You must take steps, not even a step. And let me tell you the truth. The Bible says we walk by faith, right? Not by sight. And the just shall live by his faith. That means for every level in your journey with God, it will be from faith to faith. That means if you use 2.5 faith today, you have passed that test. You are now on that level. Tomorrow, you will need to use 3.5. You will not reduce. Do you understand? From 3.5 to 5, to 7.5, to 15. Every action will demand greater faith. That's what I mean. God will never give you anything that you can easily just do comfortably. No! He stretched you today and you are able to expand to that level. And you say, oh, thank God. Tomorrow a bigger one will come that will stretch you the more. We finish Youth Aflame. I say, oh, glory to God. You don't know what it is to pull that kind of meeting. You are praying and you are thinking of money. Have you been there before? Oh, you were just coming to receive, bar. And then we finish that one. Then the next program, God will stretch your faith the more. Then the crusade, God stretch it. Put and say, oh yeah, let me see what you can do. I say, God, let's cut out borehole at least so that we can handle this one. Then I opened scripture and it took my eyes straight. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? I say, why you they talk like this now? Why? Then the next text message that will come. Sir, they want to start drilling. They need money. They need a deposit. You are talking about deposit in millions. And then you are looking to God. Faith. Some of these, my worship team people, let me tell you, your first album project as a person, it will be by faith. Oh. Some of you, it will be by faith. Even when you have gathered money, I can record with this one. When you travel and go there and they tell you this is how much to record, you will realize that what you brought was half of the recording fee. You will need faith. Dunsi Noyo concert, his first meeting that he put up, he had 500,000 in his account. It was his house rent. God told him to use it and print flyers and do billboard. Are you serious, God? Are you serious? Are you for real? That's Gen Z, ba. You never say reality. Say, are you for real? Gen Z, say, are you for real? Hey! You never say anything. Use your house rent! What if landlord come a day to the program and say, the fragrance of my worship. Oh yeah, fragrance, my house rent, come here. Or the day you are driving out for the program, landlord greet, for now, I can't see you, but you come on, okay. Hey, Anna, you get program. Okay, we'll see tomorrow.
And as you are going to that meeting, you are thinking, what am I going to give tomorrow? Faith. You will never see the power of God if you don't exercise faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will have to take one step and God will complete it. Look at Peter, Acts chapter 3. Filled with the Holy Ghost. So then he met that guy in front of the temple. Look on us. The guy looked at them, hoping for money. He said, you know, say I'm broke. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus, rise up. The Bible says he didn't stop there. He took the hand of the man and lifted him up. That was the last time Peter touched anybody to heal them. But the first time he had to touch that person. He continued walking by faith. A time came where his shadow started healing people. I remember one of our sisters, she may even be in this service here. Very funny story. I won't call her name. After one of our meetings like this, I was praying for people on the line. And then somebody was a deliverance session and the person was manifesting. Serious manifestation. And I was on the ground. I just looked. I don't even know why I looked at the sister. Maybe it's God. I don't usually do that. I called her and said, come! Come and cast out that demon. Eh? Demon where they push protocol. She started confession from there. She said, sir, this one. Sir, that one. Sir, let me pray about it. Sir, this one. I said, my friend, come here. Put your hand there. It was not to mock her. It was just to challenge her. It was a lesson, a lifetime lesson of faith I was teaching her. You may fail with this one, but this will be the bedrock for the one you get tomorrow. And that's how you move. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to walk by faith. Take a step. Start that business. Start it and fail. Don't be afraid of failure. Pray, nothing happens. Gather the catalog of the times you prayed and nothing happened, because you will need them to endorse and to perform, to qualify the ones you did and it happened. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember the first time I prayed for a lady to be filled with the Holy Spirit. About I was 2012 or 2013. The lady I'm talking about now, she's in UK. If you know how I gathered scriptures that day, and I'm called, I fasted. We were in the church. Talk like this. Unknown to me, she was already open to receive. Then I held her hand and then I started praying on her. Before I know, she started shaking. When I saw that she was shaking, I said, this power deal, I put my hand on the head now. I say, yes. Power! Lahakara dalabahaya. Amen. When she started speaking in tongues, I said, you will think that that's the end. God will start stretching you. Start stretching you. I've gone for a meeting and the place was dry as I was preaching. God said, carry water and start sprinkling everywhere. Deliverance will happen. I said, are you serious? Here? What did they carry the water and pour me back? Are you hearing me? I've had people in prominent positions call me and in 24 hours they need a word. I've had people test my prophetic anointing. I'm telling you, tell me what I'm wearing. Hey, God of mercy. Yeah. Then I start with the pants. I say, you're not wearing anything under. Hey! Kalabarande keleba. That was few seconds and what you had needed to work per second. A second, or you test it. Are you hearing me? Test and fail, that's how you succeed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes some of these my guys, they after service when I'm praying, I will just call them. I say, this is deliverance case. Go and handle. Are you serious? And they know not to come back until it has been perfected. If I send you and you come back and you don't do it, that's me and you. That's the end. I will collect it from you, but you have told me I will never trust you with anything. It's the same thing with God. You must walk by faith. Open your mouth and speak to God tonight. Speak to Him tonight. Speak to Him tonight. Speak to Him tonight.
Somebody ready for a move of God? Somebody ready for another measure of His power? Somebody ready for a higher dimension of grace? Somebody dissatisfied with an ordinary life? Can you cry to Him? Can you cry to Him tonight? I want to see your move again in my life. Maraha sakra teleboko bronski telebidimi akaya. Yelo kobo shanda la bakata la mana dele kobo sutarama. In Jesus' name. Please listen to me before we stand up. Let me drop this one. This will send somebody to go on a retreat. However, when God puts His power on you, there is a price to pay to remain empowered. For God to trust you with His power, there are prices you must pay. This part of the message is something for you to go and think about all through this week. There are prices to pay. Not to acquire, but to keep the trust of His power. Number one, there is the price of time. Spending time with God. Time. I'm telling you, whatever God will give you is commensurate to how much time you give Him. Believe me. This God, nobody can cheat Him. It's commensurate to time. Am I saying leave your job tomorrow and go and spend time? You will lose your job. Oh. But make every moment in His presence count. Time. In the place of prayer. Number two, there's the price of diligence in studying and reading the Word of God. In building mental capacity to be a good conductor of the power of God. The price of diligence. There will never be a time in your life where you just play around. No. You'll be committed to consistently building yourself in the knowledge of God's word. It takes time, sir, to sit with scripture. It takes time. It's as tiring for me as it's as tiring for you. I'm telling you. There are times I become tired. I just put audio Bible and be playing there. It takes time of diligence. There's the price of purity and consecration. Pure vessels carry the power of God. But when you are polluted in your vessel, there's a limit to what you can carry. Because that power comes from a realm of glory. You can't use a lesser metal or wire to conduct high tension electricity. Is that true? It's not the same wire you use every part of the house. There are some places where you need to use thicker wires. Yeah. Purity and consecration is the price. Is the price. We are not seeing so much of the power of God among young people because many young people have sold themselves to immorality, to stealing, to all kinds of incorruption. Many young people no longer believe in purity. Is it not called Holy Spirit? And you'll be a fool sometimes, or you look like a fool when you are keeping your consecration as against other people wasting their time, playing with their lives. But when God puts His power on you, the difference will be clear. Number four, there is the price of fasting. It's in the place of fasting that self dies, that the flesh is crucified. Fasting. Not only from food, but from pleasures. Not that you are fasting and you are on WhatsApp for 2 hours. No, you are not fasting. You are WhatsApping. Fasting. Yeah. Yeah. There'll be times you stay away from food. And as you grow with God, there are fastings He will demand from you. Sometimes for God to give you one song, He will tell you not to eat for 3 days. Drink only water. It's not just a song. It's to break into a realm. When we started this ministry, when we started Night of Wonders, there was a kind of fast God instructed me to do. Don't do it. It's my consecration. But I was instructed to stay away from food 2 or 3 days to the program.
Do you know that the first night of wonders, after 48 hours of no food, I came like that without breaking the fast to the program? I remember I lodged in Rahama Lodge. There's one Rahama Lodge here opposite, on this Damboa Road. I don't know if it's still called Rahama Lodge. Yes. Like that. I didn't want to, but that was what the Spirit of God said. And I stood for 7 hours from 12 midnight till 7 a.m. How many of you were in that meeting in Right Way? You know what I'm talking about. That was what was required of me. It depends on what you want to carry. Oh, now you cheaply see fibroid disappear, kidney stones, fibroid cyst turn to baby. And you see all of this. There's a price of fasting. Anybody swallowing food every day, forget about the power of God. Forget it. You have given your birthright to your neighbor. They will lay hands on you. And I didn't like fasting. But when I saw that was the price, when I entered it, I remember how the prophetic opened for me. We had finished a fast in August in our church then, 31 days fast. Then God spoke to me towards the end. He said, continue the fast. I want to talk to you. You know, he didn't tell you where to stop. He said, continue. So I spoke to my dad, spoke to my pastor. They encouraged me. I'd never gone beyond a month. Even the 1 month was the whole church. You know, there are some people, they will never fast. The only fast they fast is that 21 days they do in January. Or like redeem. I like redeem. 50 days, 100. I like that, Joe. 100 days. Your neck will come out like my own. Every liking for food will die. And some of them, when they break their fast in the, by 6 p.m., they'll gather breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And brothers and sisters, that fast continued into September. I finished it 4th November. It was in 2013. That was when I started seeing visions. I would lie down like this to sleep. Boom, I'll be in the spirit. Up until last night. That's how I get all these prophetic words. God will take me in the spirit to where it is happening and show me everything. Just like he took me to that forest in Kwara. I saw that it was a boundary between Kwara and Niger State. And he showed me what time they should attack the terrorists and they would defeat them. But I will not talk until somebody in government looks for me. And then less than 2 months later, you are seeing it. It didn't come cheap, sir. It came by fasting. By the time I finished that fasting, I stopped loving food. I became used to the fasting. In fact, if I don't fast for 2 weeks, my body will start shaking. And I can't tell you, our last worker service for this year, I want to talk to the workers about fasting. If you want to hear, join them. I will tell you realms that God took me into and things that God killed, habits that God dealt with. Some addictions that can break when you fast. 3 days, no food, just water. 7 days, no food. Oh my God, you will kiss the coals of fire like Isaiah. When you come out, that masturbation, it will die naturally. You will look for it and not find it. Because everything in the flesh is sponsored by food. Now, with all this talk, don't go and jump tomorrow and say, you want to go and fast, and then I receive a call by 2 p.m. that you are vomiting blood. I'll call the medical team for you. Let me leave you. The rest, you'll find it on your own. Stand up and pray. Let's pray. Please hold the hand of your neighbor. We are going to pray in the spirit for 3 minutes at a stretch. We are saying, Lord, in this season, empower me. Find somebody's hand. That's the last thing we do before we close. Pray in the spirit for the next 3 minutes. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth.
Cry. Maraticos. Emmanuel. Sobarata kabareko tobasia. Emmanuel. Sopra tebre etorogobos. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Pray in the spirit. Analamaraka sikokorogodorodos. Shigorogobos. Marakata lagabara diabalasso. Otokopasaya. To see you move again. We want to see you move again. Eject your power again in my life. In my life. I want to do the greater works of Jesus. The greater works of Jesus. I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. The lepers. I want to bring believers to your flesh. The power to get well. The power of dominion. The power of greatness. The power of influence. Lord, endow me. Endow me. Endow me. Pray, 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 pray. Come on, cry. Paragata la garada, Rashata la baragada la barahasa, Rasata ragada la barana malagada la naba, Le cobra sata branda la gabaragada la dabahas, Eka paragade le ke paragusiama, Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me give you a brief charge before we go tonight. Let this service prepare you for our forthcoming Night of Wonders program. Above many things that you will experience in the presence of God, I want you to come for that meeting desirous of a mighty baptism of the power of God. We need it in the days ahead. It's not only for preachers. You need power to be a Christian. The Bible speaks about forces, arrows that flies by day. And you need power to excel, to exert dominion. I'm leaving you with an hunger this week. Find time to cry to God this week between now and Friday for a divine visitation of His power, and come on Friday ready for what God will do in your life. Something is changing in your life today. Please lift your hands. Father, I ask you tonight that you will give your people divine encounters. encounters by your spirit, encounters forged from heaven, encounters that will push them into different levels of your power, encounters that will translate them into higher dimensions of glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release upon you a hunger for the supernatural power of God. A hunger to see God move in your life like you have never seen before. And may God help you to yield yourself to Him, to yield to His will in all that concerns you. May flesh be crucified in your life this season. May the will of God be done in your life. And for somebody, anything fighting the will of God in your life, it dies tonight. It dies tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go and walk in the grace and power of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Clap your hands and give the Lord all the praise. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Please keep standing for 2 minutes. If there's anybody here who wants to surrender to the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, whether you are here in the congregation or you are following online, you want to say, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with God, or I want to return back to the Lord, please say this prayer after me where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I receive you into my heart, and I proclaim that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you made that prayer online or on site, you are now a child of God. You are born again, and God wants to walk with you greatly. Please, if you are here and you made that prayer, lift your right hand so I can see you unashamedly. You made that prayer of surrender, of rededication. God bless you. I've seen one hand there. God bless you. Lift it high. Take your Bibles, your bags, and come to the front quickly. I want to pray for you. Let's celebrate God for them as they come. Please come quickly. If you made that prayer of surrender and rededication, please run quickly to Jesus. Come with everything you came with. Come to Him. Come to Him quickly. Quickly. Let's keep clapping. The Bible says there is joy in heaven when one soul repents. Hallelujah. Please lift up your two hands. Father, by the authority of your word, we declare her sins forgiven. Declare that she's born again. Let your spirit come upon her today and live within her henceforth. The power of sin is broken. Satan, death, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. Every ancestral curse, every force of witchcraft, everything that traced you or trailed you from your foundation, manipulating your life, dies tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. You live in victory all the days of your life. Serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you, my dear sister. Please, I want you to come back next Sunday so you can hear the word and grow in your knowledge of God. Your life will never be the same. If you turn to your left, our counselors will lead you so that they can have a word with you, and then you are done. God bless you. Please direct her to the counselor. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.